Greetings, Meltopians. Are you looking to delve deeper into the world of Meltopia? Then check out our Patreon, where you can find written mythos pieces, world maps, found footage, art, Patreon-exclusive shows, and more. Just go to patreon.com/Meltopia and join one of our tiers for access to great new content. Brave the forbidden and embrace the darkness.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The corridor was rather lavish for an underground escape tunnel. Writing and glyphs festooned the walls as if they were parchment. No doubt some lofty account of the Belfiend's superiority. Even in moments of their pending demise, they couldn't help but self-aggrandize. It seemed to be in another language he, or Hesperius, wasn't familiar with, as it wasn't legible. He was half tempted to make some scratchings, a hobby he had as a kid, and keep them for Vorn. The bookworm would undoubtedly appreciate it. Though, since the night he was visited by the prince, or whatever it was, he didn't seem too academically inclined. He wouldn't be either, he supposed. He hadn't been motivated to do anything since his family died. It seemed like such a long time ago, another life. The pain was still there, although the constant danger of Grimland had somewhat subdued it. Where once it was a lasting, sharp pain, it was now just a prolonged, dull ache. There was also his voluntary avoidance of the topic, as he wasn't quite sure what Hesperius was privy to and not privy to. Some thoughts passed through his head that he was sure would spur the ancient devil's reaction, yet he remained silent. Other times, he seemed to know precisely what Wesley was thinking and have access to his deepest, darkest thoughts. As far as he knew, the beast was practically timeless and was most likely wise enough to not show its full hand. Still, the thing was prideful, arrogant, and sometimes demonstrated the patience of a hormonal teenager. He supposed it could afford to be compulsive given what it was, what it had accomplished.
How your little mind tarries, Wesley, like some wandering dog who's lost the scent of its masters. It roams aimlessly.
Hey, why can you read my thoughts, but I can't read yours? I'm in your mind as much as you're in mine, presumably.
Are you so desperate to go mad, little Wesley?
The cosmic horror trope of your mind will unravel if you see what I've seen. Bit Lovecraftian, isn't it?
You saw but a glimpse of my memories in one of your dreams, and you could barely draw breath. Do you really doubt me? Would you like to see the creatures I've felled? The places that no words can possibly describe? Entities whose shadows would cause even me to shrivel to stand in?
I suppose. Point taken.
So curious you humans are. But when faced with real knowledge, you shy away. And that is because, deep down, you all believe in some sort of cosmic good or justice. Oh, you pretend not to with your cold sciences and logic, but deep down in those little spirals of DNA, you believe some great benevolence is floating about like some absentee landlord. But then, one of you occasionally gets a glimpse of what's really out there. No good, no virtue, no justice. Just appetites. Ravenous ones.
I wasn't ever one for religion, so I certainly never believed in some cosmic good.
You forget, little Wesley. I've inhabited you little bags of flesh for thousands of years. I've occupied many of your race's great minds, all making the same proclamations. But no matter what they say, a part of them always holds out hope there's some cosmic goodwill out there. I can feel it in you. Even as I talk to you now, your natural psychological defenses tell you I'm lying, that there must be some beneficent thing to counter all this evil. No matter how hard they try not to be, your little monkey minds are ever the optimist. To face the reality would render your lives meaningless.
Well, I really appreciate the pep talk, but is there a point to this diatribe?
Only that, deep down, you harbor the same optimism for your current circumstances. You believe everything will somehow be okay, that it'll all work out in the end. The great scientific mind of Wesley Morrigan, reduced to an overused adage on post-it notes. But everything will not be all right, little Wesley. This will not end well for you or your friends.
And why tell me this, huh? I mean, what's the fucking point?
There is no point, Wesley. I do it because I can, because I like to, and because it is the luxury of the predator to do what it wants with the prey. Do you think there's some cosmic plan at work when a cat plays with a mouse that it will eventually devour? I'm afraid not, little Wesley. There is just the whimsy of a hungry beast, teasing its lesser because it enjoys it for reasons it doesn't understand. And even if it did, it would do just the same. Cruelty. the Great Unifier.
Well, as delightful as this conversation has been, I think it's time we take a break from each other. There's only so much sunshine a guy can take.
Do you think your wife and daughter knew it in the end? The world, the universe was careless, and all their deeds, love, and sacrifice all led to being nothing but a hollowed-out plaything for a bigger, badder wolf.
You shut the fuck up! What are you, huh? Some kind of fucking runaway? A goddamn cosmic drifter squatting whatever human it can get its hands on. What makes you any better, huh? What makes you so fucking superior? With that outburst, Wesley was left with the echoing chuckles of his psychic guest, who receded once more into the silence. He was trying to fight off tears, his anger reaching a fever pitch. He quickly wiped his eyes before anyone could notice.
You okay, Wes? You seem a little, out of it.
Yeah, just going over stuff from the last few days is all. It's a bit much. Quickly wishing to change the subject, Wesley looked at the hulking mass leading them.
Arcos? Are we almost out? I feel like we've been walking for hours.
He was hesitant to address the creature, as its demeanor was less than pleasant. The beast huffed, as if bothered.
It will be about 15 more minutes until we reach the exit. Then we will enter the fog banks of Belagoff.
Oh, the fog banks of Belagoff, huh? Yeah. I'm glad we keep going to these fun-sounding places. Do I have to ask, is it dangerous?
Yes.
Care to elaborate?
No.
Hey, how the fuck do you know our language anyway? I get why the Belfie knew, but how do you?
Arcos' fists curled up into fleshy medicine balls as if continuing the current conversation was painful.
We were psychically linked to the Belfine. They shared their knowledge with us when they saw fit.
Well, ain't that handy.
Gorin wandered over to Salvatore and leaned in.
Perhaps we should let Arcos be. He doesn't seem to be in the mood to talk.
Hey, fuck him! Don't forget this asshole helped those motherfuckers capture us and make us the next fucking science project. The least he can do is give us some fucking answers.
Riva joined in, signing sternly to Salvatore.
All right, I'll leave him alone. For now.
The group continued silently, Moffat's lantern lighting the path ahead. While it seemed to operate like a standard lamp, Wesley could still see the shadows writhe slightly, like they were on the verge of dancing. There was another worldly effervescence to it, despite not knowing exactly what made it so. Still, Moffat calmly strode the path, unintimidated by the lumbering giant near him. Eventually, the tunnel began to crawl with fingers of mist. A bluish-gray haze wrapped around their feet like coiling snakes. Wesley could almost feel the gossamer stuff, a tingle of heat playing at his feet. As they went, the fog pooled at their ankles as if they were wading through shallow waters. Wesley looked at the walls and saw the shadows changing, the lantern displaying writhing, burning shapes on the walls. Flashes of bizarre visages came and went, semblances of eyes, mouths, and other things that didn't belong on a face. He was sure the mist wasn't typical, but it didn't seem to harm them. Finally, the cave's exit came into view, a yawning thing that looked like the mouth of a breathing dragon, smoke seeping from its open maw.
Arcos? How are we going to see out there? I can barely see past the fog.
Arcos looked back, his lips slightly reaching over one of his massive fangs.
Follow me, and ignore whatever you see or hear.
The group looked at each other as they neared the exit, the hint of rocks and grayish dirt beyond it. But something else was there, too. A presence, or multiple presences. He couldn't quite pinpoint it. Hesitant to go any further, Salvatore spoke up.
That's it. Look, we get you don't like us and all, but we need to know what the fuck is out there. We just don't walk into shit blind.
Arcos' muscles seemed to flex. His anger was almost palpable, and heat emanated from his form. The red sigils on his body began to light up, and it nearly seemed as if he was swelling. A growl stole out from his pursed lips, and then a deep sigh.
Supposedly, there was once a city here, Belagoff. They were peaceful, refused to fight, and swore only to help others. Samaritans. Fools. Word of the prince's arrival reached them, but they refused to vacate despite the other town's warnings. Instead, upon the arrival of the prince and his forces, the people of Belagoth, in a sacrifice to their god, some nameless thing that perished along with its worshippers, collectively set themselves and their city aflame. However, upon arriving at the Inferno, the prince simply smiled, cut open his arm, and let his blood spill into the conflagration. According to legend, the fire turned black, and their screams echoed across the land. The serpent damned their souls to the ash and the smoke that birthed it, their incorporeal selves forced to wander the embers in effulgence of their unmaking. It is said they still wander the ruins of their once home, luring wanderers into the ashes of their past selves. At least, that is what the legends say. Who knows if it's true?
So these fog banks are the smoke from burning people's bodies, and the dirt is...
their ashes, if you believe the tale.
And, what exactly do these wraiths do? They were benevolent, weren't they?
Arcos Huff, clearly tired of talking.
I do not know. There are many myths. I'm not tasked with legitimizing their authenticity. I know what I must. That people go missing here. That there is danger. That is what I must know. Is all of your race this cowardly?
Hey, eat shit, fucko. We're not all yes-men like you. We tend to think before we go traipsing into some fucking haunted desert or whatever this place is.
Arcos turned and walked up to Salvatore, menacing.
And tell me, little thing, what other choice do you have? Do not fool yourself. You are beholden to the same master as I.
The behemoth growled and then turned back, moving into the mist as if they were not the vengeful ghosts of a people burned alive. The group looked at one another, not moving. Then, Riva looked at everyone and moved forward, nodding for the others to follow. Finally, they did, all hesitantly entering the wall of fog behind the monster's shadow of their guide. Wesley's feet felt as if they were stepping in sand. The ground, if it could be called that, was gray and had some give. It seemed like ash, if the legends were true, and the fog had a faint putridness to it as if it were the offspring of burning, fetid meat. He could see faint figures in the mist, shapes in his periphery that disappeared upon looking directly at them. Then, strange voices rode upon the breeze, faint words that came and went like vagabond whispers. They followed as the group went, ghosts trailing their footfalls as surely as the sound of their steps. You're all seeing and hearing this, right?
Yes, it's quite unnerving.
When Wesley looked at Salvatore, his eyes had taken on a slight greenish-black hue, almost dimming the air around them. There was a certain discomfort Wesley felt about them, as if they were corrupt in some way. Asperius's presence had made him sensitive to certain things, and whatever Salvatore had merged with was dark. Looking over to Riva, he saw his eyes crawling across the plumes of fog, watching the shadows as they faded in and out. Hours seemed to pass as they walked. It was as if they hadn't gone anywhere, walked stationary for miles. The distance was shrouded by the gloom, and the voices seemed to only get louder. Time didn't appear to pass here, as there was no apparent day or night, just foggy wraiths perpetually encircling them. Finally, a shape came into view in the distance. It was humanoid, but seemed to shift as if it weren't solid. It reminded him of a person-shaped dune in the winds, pieces of it flitting off into nowhere. What is that?
I do not know. Be ready.
The group slowly kept forward, yet with each step, the figure never seemed to get closer. Finally, they could hear the cries of someone in the distance, screaming in pain and calling for help. Jesus,
Something's happening to them. We gotta help. Wesley started to run towards the figure, but Arcos's giant hand held him back.
I said ignore whatever you see and hear.
But Christ, they're suffering. We gotta...
It's a trap. A lure.
How do you know?
The myth says that the prince's blood corrupted the people of Belagoth as they burned. In an act of irony, once great Samaritans of Gion, the prince made them predators of the selfless, luring those who would help others into the black flames that once consumed them.
Information that would have been handy a few hours ago.
I was unsure of the veracity.
Yeah, right. The man's howls eventually faded, along with his charcoal figure. However, they could hear others. The sounds of a woman wailing, a baby crying, a man begging for his life. All cries for help. Their vague figures in the distance all suggested horrible circumstances. Some looked like they were being attacked by large, vicious animals, while others were crawling upon the ground, their hands reaching for the helping grasp of another. Suddenly, to Wesley's left was a strange woman, her skin dirty and contused, her eyes wide with terror.
Help me!
From a distance, hooked tentacles dug into her shoulder, and she cried out with a shrill scream. The distressed woman pulled at his heartstrings despite knowing it was an illusion. He instinctively wanted to reach out to help her, to drag her into the fold and save her from whatever creature had her in its grasp.
Don't do it, you moron! You heard what he said! It's a fucking illusion!
Wesley heeded the demon within him and stayed his hand, choosing to move forward instead. Soon, the place was alive with screams and calls for help, figures suffering all sorts of terrible fates. Each a hooked lure, looking for a hungry fish.
Christ, are we almost through this, Arcos?
The giant simply grunted.
Just keep moving.
Warren simply nodded, the screams of terror and helplessness clearly getting under his skin. What the hell are these things, Suspirius?
They are corruptions, little Wesley. Another dark miracle of this Prince of Snakes character, no doubt. I do have to admit, it is a humorous fate for such self-righteous do-gooders.
Yeah, hilarious. Eventually, Wesley could see the fog wane and the screams and pleas faded into the distance. The ground was becoming more solid and less ash-like. Solid shapes began to emerge in the distance. First, only barely discernible contours, but after a bit of walking, they gained detail and texture. Finally, ruins of some kind became visible, and the last screams faded into the distance, along with the plumes of smog that had once been the world. When he looked back, he saw thousands of ashen figures standing in the fog, all on fire, all their faces stricken with horrible black smiles.
Grimland is a Maltopia production. Today's episode was written by Stephen Anzalone. The episode was edited by Walker Kornfeld. Sound production and editing was performed by Stephen Anzalone. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Maltopia. That's M-A-E-L-T-O-P-I-A. And if you'd like to know more about Grimland and contribute to its nightmarish expansion, visit us at www.patreon.com/Maltopia, where you can gain access to all sorts of art, mythologies, stories, and more. For more information about Grimland and the world of Maltopia, visit us at maltopia.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.